Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. Melinda Zarate with Emboldened Heart here. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today for a very special interview with a friend of mine. I'm just super excited to be able to bring Brian Keith to you and to introduce his beautiful, fun, amazing, and inspiring work to you. And I was introduced to Brian a few months ago by a dear friend, and I got so excited when I realized what he was up to that I had to bring him on and share him with all of you. So welcome, Brian. So glad to have you here today.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. And you said, what am I up to? And I have to tell you, that makes me feel just a little mischievous, which is kind of fun.
Good. Yes, it is.
What am I
Absolutely.
Up to?
Absolutely. And the truth is, you're always up to something. I can tell that just by the amount of time that I've spent around you. You have an enormous amount of creativity and energy, and just what I have seen of your music, your website, and what I've read of some of your philosophy is just really fun, really inspiring, and pretty impressive. You've got a lot going on. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That is good words, and that's my heart. I have several passions, and one of them is to bring things that uplift and encourage, and I've laid the groundwork for this for years, and it's now starting to manifest and produce fruit, and I am so excited to share it.
Awesome. Well, I'm delighted to be part of the sharing of this work. So tell me, how did you sort of start heading down this road towards studying and learning about Sanskrit and creating this unique kind of music? Share a little bit about your background. I know you've been a musician for a long time.
Yes, I love talking and I love telling stories, and I will do my best to be concise. I can see Trevor's eyes rolling back in his head from here. I started out at 4 years old. I'm not going to linger there, so it's not going to be a long four-year-old story. I started kindergarten. My birthday's mid-September, and went to kindergarten, and they sang Frère Jacques. Well, my mother was also at the same time studying to be in elementary school, just studying elementary education, and she was teaching me to read.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I was three, I was reading with phonics and learned that. And so at four, we learned Frère Jacques in kindergarten, and I came home and we had a piano. I'd never really touched it before. And I found those three black notes were the same notes as Frère Jacques, and suddenly the piano made sense. Well, it was the edge of my fifth birthday,
nice.
So I turned five, and my mother took me to the choir director at church and asked if he would be interested in working with a young student who showed promise. And he said, oh, I never take a student before they can read. And my mother said, well, you might be surprised, but he can read. So I took the path of learning music for 9 years and took traditional piano lessons, but learned that I would rather just make up my own music than play what someone else had written, because I had so much in me. And I started playing in church at age 13 and did that until the early 2000s at several different churches through my life. And jumping ahead from age 4 to 1998 and 99, I went through a really dark night of the soul and lost three grandparents and two close friends, and had multiple things happen that were deeply life-changing. And through this, having a Judeo-Christian background, I had a prayer every day. And the prayer that I prayed every day was, Lord, order my steps in a way that is pleasing to you. Order my steps in a way that leads me to the highest good for myself and those with whom I share the journey, and give me the willingness to walk in those steps. That was my daily prayer, and that was that preceded the dark night. And then through this, I walked into my first yoga class at the invitation of a friend and immediately felt at home. this is it. Just a little other piece here. There was there's so much dogma and lines drawn about religion and who believes this and who believes that. And they're a lot of times not accepting of other religions that are different from theirs. And I've always had the heart to want to encourage people, regardless of any of those issues, regardless of religion, creed, all that. And just didn't really have a way because I was kind of stuck in church music. But in finding yoga, that spark happened within me. And the teacher, this was what was amazing. The teacher didn't do any philosophy. We just did asana. We did poses. We breathed and we moved. And my life started to transform from just that. It was like the gateway, the entryway to yoga. And so I just fell in love with it. And I found a teacher. And she's now one of my closest friends is Andrea Fournay in Fayetteville. And she was my first yoga teacher, and we formed a bond, and I started studying with her to become a yoga teacher, and got my 200-hour status in 2002 and then continued on and got a 500-hour status in 2004. And in the process, she and I created Veri Yoga, which is an amalgam of different styles and such that allow the practice to be tailored to the needs of the individual. So that's why we call it Veri Yoga, like variation. It varies for whatever the needs are. And through this, I started to awaken to yoga philosophy, the yamas and niyamas, the 10, they're not commandments. What I love about it is they are more the fruit that are born from a mindful practice. That takes the pressure off of having to be, you know, I've got to follow this code. I've got to follow this code. So, no, I want to let this fruit grow and manifest in me. I was so resistant to chanting. This is an amazing turnaround because we had meditation sessions during the teacher training program, and they did maybe a little Om Namah Shivaya chant or something, and I didn't want to have anything to do that, primarily because I didn't want to trade the dogma of the religion that I grew up with for the dogma of another religion, and I didn't understand. One of the things that I love doing now is unpacking the metaphor, because there is so much rich information in the chant that I want to learn that, I want to manifest that, and I want to share that so that we can all, regardless of creed, benefit from that. But back to the Andrea story, she and I did teacher training for, I've done 15, getting ready for my 15th season with her at the Arkansas Yoga Center in Fayetteville.
Wow.
And we have now incorporated kirtan and such within the teacher training and chanting and mantra. But the reason I had resistance is Shiva is the name of a Hindu god. And I did not want to suddenly become Hindu. And I'm not being disrespectful to anyone who follows any of those religions. It's not about this. It was about me and what I could accept. And someone told me, oh, it means the teacher within. Well, that wasn't good enough for me because I want to dive deep into that information so that I can share it from a position of knowledge, not from just a superficial hearsay. So I wasn't ready to receive it, and I had great walls of resistance. I wasn't going to chant. I wasn't going to say any of that stuff. And then something clicked and changed inside of me, and one thing that happened is I started listening to Sean Johnson and the Wild Lotus Band from New Orleans. I'm sure you're familiar.
Yeah,
and,
very.
Growing up, I'm a baritone and my voice is lower. And so a lot of the musicians that were popular when I was growing up had a tenor voice, which is way not my voice at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I can't sing. I can't make anything that's pleasant for anyone because I don't have that kind of voice. Listening to Sean Johnson shifted it for me. As I was studying the philosophy and the meaning, you know, unpacking the metaphor of what the chants mean and how they can affect us when we dwell in, when we reflect on, when we ruminate, when we allow these principles and concepts to be tilled into the ground of our soul and start to manifest in crops that are so I know I'm using a lot of mixed metaphors here, but I'm just so excited and passionate about it. So it started.
Go ahead,
started
mix up those
music.
Metaphors.
Yeah, we're just going to shake them up. I started writing chants about 6 years ago, and they just started coming easily. And I just sit down and think of a mantra or a chant and sit down at the harmonium. which some of you know the harmonium is like an accordion in a box. It just has a little bellows, and you squeeze that, and it creates tone, and it's got a little keyboard on it. Well, keyboard is my thing since I, as I told you earlier, I started on the piano at a very early age.
Sure.
So I know that very well, and it was very easy to just start making music on the harmonium and creating these songs that are encouraging. And I'll say this, I've written probably about 120 chants now. That's kind of a rough estimate. But don't be deceived. It's not the number. Because in there, there's some really good ones, but also there are a whole bunch of clinkers. Because you've heard the expression, you have to kiss a lot of frogs before you find your prince. Well, I
yes.
went the long route of writing a bunch of stuff that, not going to do that one. No, probably not. But it has now, I can pick through those and find things that bond to, that uplift, that encourage. And it is so delightful. In the last couple of months, we've been doing the chants at Star Portal. We've been having kirtan.
Yes,
and,
so much fun.
And that
fun.
Has really opened me up to sharing this. It really hasn't manifest before now. This has been in the works for a long time. I have 3 albums out, but I've not really done much promotion on them yet because I'm still getting ready. But now I'm there.
They're
I'm
wonderful.
Trying
They're
to
all wonderful.
Thank you. And anybody can hear these. They're available on Spotify, on Pandora, on iTunes, on Apple Music and such. And the keyword is Bryangeli. And I want to tell you just a bit about that. When I was creating these songs, I thought, what do I want to call myself? What do I want to say this is? And there's a Sanskrit word, Anjali, and it's spelled A-N-J-A-L-I. That's the English spelling for the Sanskrit word, which means to make an offering, to give a gift. And in yoga practice, we hear words like Tadasana, Shavasana. Those are combination words that they exist independently, but put them together, and they mean, like Tadasana means mountain pose. But there is a sage that wrote sutras, the aphorisms of yoga, in about 500 BCE. It's a rough estimate. We really don't know what the time frame was that he did this, but he codified them and put them down, the sutras. Patanjali, and his name is a combination of pot like petal and Anjali. So his is a combination name, and I looked at that, and I thought, well, what about Brian and Anjali? Bryangeli, that is Brian's gift.
Love it.
And so that just the lights came on, and I thought, that's my gift. And I'm sharing this information, again, that uplifts and encourages, and it's just so sweet to dwell on these songs.
Yes.
Take a listen. You know, check out Bryangeli online. And I have had, I told you earlier, I have a lot of passions. One of them is photography.
Yes, you do.
And I've taken lots of pictures of the moon. A few years ago, I got a camera with like a 30X zoom and a tripod, and have the covers of my albums are pictures of the moon in different phases that I've taken. The first one, first chant, is the crescent moon, the very first stages of the moon. And I didn't know this was going to happen when I was putting it together. I was just going with the flow. And then second chant, the moon is a little bit bigger. And then Chants to Dance, one of my favorite collections that has disco and funk and all kinds of fun stuff with mantra and chanting, is not the moon. It's a disco ball. And it kind of looks like a moon. It's got stars in the background and stuff. But and each one of these have the corresponding pages on my website with every word that's in every song, to help the listener understand, or those who are singing along or chanting with me, understand the meaning behind a chant. Because that's what really turned the page for me.
And that's my favorite thing. Yeah, that was what really got me so excited when I learned about you. It's the fact that you have a gift for bringing an understanding of these ancient seed syllables and words and phrases into the modern understanding. And that to me is just a huge gift. It's so important because all of these have an energy or frequency to them that we can all benefit from and activate within us. But it makes such a huge difference to understand, you know, what the true meaning is behind it, or what the meaning could be for you and all of us. So thank you for that. Kudos. Brilliant.
Well, you are welcome. And again, that is a passion. Something that's nice about these chants is there are various meanings and multiple ways that we can apply the information to our life. And it's all good. How we take it, what it,
right,
how it manifests in us, and when we dwell on it. Different times when I might do the same chant over and over because I have an understanding of the basic idea of the words. But then one day something will click in me and I will have an additional facet of understanding. And I love those aha moments. But it's good for us,
right,
to dwell in words and ideas that encourage and uplift. And I know I say that a lot, and that, again, that is a major passion of mine, and to share understanding, because if we don't understand something, we can have, you know, misjudgments, and we can have actions that we may regret later because of maybe future understanding has helped us to understand what happened. So I'm looking for it now so that I can share. Even it's an ongoing process. I pick up the Book of Sutras and I look and I think, okay, what's it going to speak to me today? And what do I need to get from this that I can share? So it's just a flowing river. It is a flowing river. Life is a flowing river. And let us go with the flow. Let us
Indeed.
Let it flow through us and around us. And let's not stop and fuss about the rock that's in the stream. Be like water and just go around it. That's the message
right.
of Ganesha as well. That's one of the chants
mm-hmm.
that's very popular. Is Om Ganapataye, Om Gam Ganapataye. As many times as I
right,
say those words,
yes.
you think I would have remembered them for this.
Well, I think that we're all experiencing a little bit of memory bleeping right now. It's just, it's uncanny. It's kind of entertaining. It just seems to be what's happening. I keep hearing that. What's going on is that we're all getting a rewiring. So I'm rolling with it too, flowing with it, as you would say.
I'm okay with the rewiring. Now, I've had a philosophy for years that inside our head is a little man or a little person. And you know what pigeonholes are on like a roll top desk, that every piece of knowledge that we
yes.
have is in one of those little pigeonholes. And there's this person in there that walks over to one of those and puts his hand over that pigeonhole and says, try to remember what's in here. And then as soon as you
yeah.
say, what is that? I need to remember that. I remember that. And then when you're not looking, that person goes over to another hole and covers something up, and suddenly you remember, oh, popsicle. I couldn't even remember
mm-hmm.
the word popsicle. But that's so let us laugh. This is another important thing. I want to have fun.
Yes.
I want to enjoy the life and encourage those with whom I share the journey to enjoy what we're doing and embrace the fun. Yes. Let's meditate. Let's have quiet, sacred times. That's all important. But one of the things that I bring to the table is a sense of whimsy and fun and sometimes even silliness.
Yes, you do.
And I think it's all a part of it. And just so much
yeah.
joy. That's what I want to share. Non-dogmatic joy. That
and
we can,
you
understand.
You absolutely do. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm excited too, and I don't mean to talk over you. I wanted to just share that I've had the lovely good fortune of being able to spend time with Brian at a live event now several times. I've attended one of his kirtan events, which is a call and response type of chanting event. And what I experience with your work, Brian, is that there is a sacredness to it, but there's also incredible exuberance that comes through. And it's not solemn and, you know, completely reverent, which there's nothing wrong with that. There's a place for that too. But I think that right now our hearts are just so calling for opportunities to sing out with exuberance and joy and fun and, you know, and even letting loose with laughter, because things have been kind of heavy for all of us
I
in life.
Agree. I agree.
Lately, more so. So, yeah, I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for your ability to just open up the channels for people to just have fun and express joy and exuberance. Thank you for that. It is indeed a gift. And it just ripples through your music in all directions. And I find
mission
that
accomplished.
Yeah, absolutely. Even when I'm playing the music and I'm by myself, I feel it. I feel the exuberance. I feel the joy, the fun. All of your albums are wonderful. But if someone really does need a super fun uplift, check out Chance to Dance. And this is Chance, C-H-A-N-T-S, to Dance. You'll feel like you have been transported back in time to the disco era, and you'll feel like you've been transported forward into time into just fun and youthfulness. It's just so fun. That one's great. But they're all wonderful, and they stay with you. That's what I love about your music as well. It's like, it just kind of gets in my head, and then I find myself singing the songs and repeating the mantras, you know, as I'm cleaning the house or driving. So wonderful. Thank you.
Well, excellent. Yeah. the message that is wrapped in the music is important to share. It's timeless wisdom. But where we are here in the West, in the Western world, the music that we listen to and the music that I grew up with is very different than traditional Indian music from India. And
yeah.
I'm not trying to be Indian Kirtan. I'm not. I know that I'm different. I'm a bridge. The music that I create is designed to meet us in a more contemporary society because of the types of music that my peer group and here in the West, whether it's Canada or Mexico or wherever, we have a similarity in the beat of the music and such, that this to me was a calling that kind of came on me, that I want to create a vehicle to share this timeless wisdom in a package that people will enjoy, and it will get in their head and get them to groove and get them to move or sit and think or just rest in the moment, because there are some really sweet pieces that are on some of the albums as well. And I wanted to mention
Absolutely.
My friend Donna, that she sang on the first couple of albums. She sang on First Chance and Second Chance, and she has been having health struggles, and I haven't worked with her since COVID began. And so I miss her. Mm. But something that she has sung on maybe 7 or 8 songs that I've done, but a little behind the scenes, every voice you hear on Chance to Dance is mine. I adore getting in the studio. And on some of those tracks, there are 50 or more tracks. I sing the high parts. I've got some wonderful equipment that helps me reach a few notes that I can't get with my low baritone voice. So I get to cover the range of it, and it excites
cool.
me so
cool,
much
cool.
to put it together, and I hope I infuse that. You're giving me all this wonderful feedback of what the music says to you, and I appreciate that. And I hope that your listeners get a chance to listen. And it's not just my music that does that. There's other Kirtan artists that I love. I love Sean Johnson, and I really enjoy Jayutal. Mm-hmm. And I've started listening to Dave Stringer. I just enjoy, there's a lot of people. Find what meets you where you are and can engage you, and then dig a little deeper and find out what's beneath the words. And for everything I do, I know I said this a minute ago, but brianjali.com, my website, has every word of the chants that are on the CDs. I'm working on it now to put live the chants from our live events, because I haven't had a chance to record everything that we're doing. In fact, on Thanksgiving, I wrote that song that we did last Sunday about surrender.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Well, thank you. So that's an
Absolutely
ongoing grow
beautiful.
Inside, and I want to create a rich resource for understanding, and that's my goal for the site.
And you have. I would encourage all of you listening to just head to his website, brianjali.com, and if you are listening and you don't know how to spell it, you can go back to any of the links that you used to come into this podcast, and you'll find it right at the very bottom. It is an amazing website. You'll be able to listen to some of the music. You'll also be able to look at the lyrics. And Brian has a whole philosophy section where he takes you into his thoughts and his musings and his understandings of so much of this ancient wisdom. I particularly enjoyed the seed syllables. Could you maybe just take a moment to share what is a seed syllable?
In Hebrew, after the rabbi says a long prayer or something, it is the congregation says amen. And that is a seed syllable in Hebrew, which it is as if you said the entire prayer or the entire scripture reading. Seed syllables in this instance, there is a lot of teaching of Ganesha, and gum is the seed syllable or the seed mantra, that when you say gum, it is as if you said the entire teaching. And so each one of these words is auspicious. Then they are full, they are rich and full, ready for unpacking. But we don't have to say all those words. We can just say the seed mantra or the seed syllable. Om is the mother of all seed syllables. Om is so wonderful. It contains past, present, and future, that which we are, and that which is greater than us, that encompasses it all, encompasses us all. So a seed mantra, if we just said nothing but Om, that is transformational for our heart and our life and our mind. And there are so many more seed syllables. There are seed syllables for the chakras, from the root to the crown. They have a single syllable word. Sanskrit is, I know we're clicking along here and I have so much to share, but I'll make it concise. Sanskrit is a language that affects us vibrationally, and we have meridians. We have pressure points in our mouth, like the pressure points in our hands for reflexology and feet. And so Sanskrit words trigger those points in our mouth. And there's an energetic connection between the saying of a Sanskrit word and what is manifest in our body, how our body reacts to that vibrationally. So it's worth looking and studying some of that. And so those are incorporated in the chants that I do as well. But go to the site, look up seed mantra, or just seed. I think it says seed mantra. And more words than I could possibly say here. Melinda, thank you for mentioning that. I love that.
Yes. I really want to encourage people to just go on your site and explore it, because there's so much there. There's amazing music. There are links to Brian's writings and songs and his philosophies. There's a lot of really, really wonderfully presented and very, very easily understood information about these ancient teachings and how they can really be brought into use so we can benefit from them right now, today, and ongoing. So I know you have another album in the works, Brian. Would you share a little bit about that for the listeners?
I'm hoping that is scheduled to release on January 1st for the new year. And it's called Fat Chants, and it's spelled PHATCHANTS. I love play of words and such. And when I came up with that, I thought, well, that's kind of clever sounding, Fat Chants. But then I looked it up, and PHAT is a Sanskrit word as well. It is pronounced pahat, and it's an expression like it's crack. It's like, wow, it's zowie. It's like one of those Batman things that comes up.
fun.
Would that count as a triple entendre? I'm not sure. But I love
I think
that when
it
I found out that's actually a Sanskrit word. But Fat Chant is
so
more
fun.
Of an R&B approach to the chant. So it's even a different style than the Chants to Dance. And having such diverse musical background, many different types of music that people can enjoy. Well, I really like the acoustic sounding stuff. So first chance and second chance are a little more acoustic sounding. Oh, I really like dance. Well, then Chants to Dance is it. And then so hopefully R&B and that type of pop influence will be on, it will be on Fat Chance. And who knows from there? I have another one in the works. It's called Chance Encounters. And that's all the stuff that I'm writing right now that will come out sometime in late 2022. And I'm also working on an instrumental called Beyond Words. So there's no stopping. It's just flowing and rolling, and I'm so excited.
I am too. I'm delighted at the opportunity to bring you onto the podcast and to introduce you and your work to the Emboldened Heart community. It's just a joy, and I just feel really blessed and so fortunate to know you and to be able to share this with anyone and everyone I can. So thanks for taking the time to be with us today. Everyone, do go to his website, go to Spotify, go to Pandora. Just check his music out. It's wonderful. I think you'll love it. And just keep an eye on him because he's going to be showing up in a lot more places. I'm absolutely certain. Thank you so much, Brian.
Amen, sister.
It was a real treat. Yes, absolutely. Oh, and so it is. Thank you so much. It's a delight to have you here, and I will just keep singing your praises. How about
that? Well, the finger pointing at the moon is not the moon, but I am delighted that it is touching you in a positive way, and I appreciate you sharing this with your audience and our friends. And, you know, strangers are just friends we haven't met yet. So I might not know you yet, your listeners, but I feel already a kinship from just the time that we've shared today. So thank you for listening, and thank you for following this encouraging series of podcasts that lift us up. And Melinda, thank you for the job that you're doing, the good gift that you give to others by speaking positive words into the cosmos. And thank you, thank you, thank you.
It's my great pleasure. Thank you, Brian. Enjoy the rest of your day, everyone. And Brian, bye-bye for now. Thank you all.
All right. Much love.
Blessings to all.